I appreciate the songs we just sang. They were so appropriate for a commissioning service. And, you know, for someone to go out into spiritual warfare, it's just a matter of leaving tomorrow in the hands of the Lord. And even as family and parents, as they let that person go, it's a matter of trusting the Lord and letting the person in the hands of the Lord. So thank you for those songs. We welcome each of you to this special service, the commissioning of Brother Neil Newcomer. God has called Neil to serve with Global Tribes Outreach, and tonight we are here to put our blessing upon his service. I read the account written by Carl Lawrence in his book, The Church in China, of how a 70-year-old woman in China was the only one who had knowledge of most of the daily operations of her family, as well as the operations of a house church. She alone knew where the Bibles were, who the messengers were, who could or could not be trusted. And suddenly she died of a heart attack. Her family felt lost. She had not been able to pass on the information that was so vital to all of them. They began to pray, "Lord, restore our mother back to life." After being dead for 2 days, she came back to life. She scolded her family for calling her back. They reasoned with her. They said they would pray that in 2 days she would return to the Lord, because they said it would take that much time to set the matter straight. After 2 days, the family had the information where the Bibles were, who the messengers were, and all that. The family and friends began to sing hymns and pray that the Lord would take her back. The mother's final words were, "They're coming. Two angels are coming." And the incident caused the entire village to repent. Brother Neil has been delivering Bibles to those in the East. And the Lord has now called him to an even longer term of service, to deliver the message of Jesus Christ to those who do not have the good news. We are here as the Pleasant Hill Church of the Brethren to send him to China. Our announcements and prayer concerns, most of them are from Lititz, Dunkard Brethren Church. I gave Ken the wrong information this morning. It's actually Lititz, Dunkard Brethren Church. He will have the message. It's interesting, Brother Lauren and his wife both served with GTO in China. And I appreciate Brother Lauren had decided he's new in the ministry. He's not going to take any outside engagements, but he realized the special circumstance of this call, and he felt he ought to do this to honor the Lord. And so I'm really glad he is willing to preach. After the message, Brother Neil will give a short summary of his calling to the mission field, as well as make some promises to you, to this congregation, concerning his service. Then I will read a statement of commitment for this body towards Brother Neil. And then after that, we'll have the laying on of hands, and then we're going to sing a song and be dismissed. At this time, I'm going to call on Brother Luther Patches to have opening devotions.
We'll be reading from Matthew chapter 28, 3 verses. And while you're turning to that, I would just simply like to say I am very encouraged for the amount of this congregation coming out to this commissioning service. One of the deep concerns that the GTO board has when we send someone to the field is they have good support, good prayer support. And that is very, very important when you step on Satan's territory, that you are covered. And I want to commend you and would pray that you do not forget Brother Neil. You think you have good friends, Brother Neil, but sometimes when they don't see you, they can forget. But I would encourage you not to forget. As he has two of his friends here with him, that's a blessing. Matthew chapter 28, I'm going to read verses 18, 19, and 20. And Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you always, even unto the end of the world. Amen. Let us kneel together as we pray.
I'd like to say good evening to each one that came out tonight. I feel honored and blessed to be able to take part in this service, special service for Neil, as you send him as a congregation to work in China. A little bit about myself. As was mentioned, I'm from Lititz, Dunker Brethren. I live in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. I have a lovely wife, and God blessed us with four children. And we served in China with GTO, the city of Kunming. I think it's about 500 miles south of where Neil is going to be starting out in before he moves closer to Tibet. We worked with the Western Lolopo people group, and we were there back in 2003 and 2004, and it doesn't seem that long ago that we were about to leave on a trip just like Neil is here. A famous artist was once asked to paint a picture of a dying church. And it was expected that he would paint a small, humble congregation with a dilapidated building. But instead, he painted a stately structure with a rich pulpit and magnificent windows, and near the door, an offering box marked Missions, which the contribution slot was blocked with cobwebs. This illustration shows us that when we are going and taking the gospel to our communities and to the world, that our church is alive. And I'm thankful that you as a church are excited about what God is doing in the world today. Luther read the Great Commission that Christ left with us. These were his last words before he left the earth. And usually when someone leaves their last words, there's something that we should pay attention to. So I have a few thoughts. I won't read the verses, but as I looked at the commission, the Great Commission, I see a threefold command. It's go and teach and baptize. And the Lord in his wisdom strategically laid this out in this order, I think for a reason. Because without the going, there is no teaching. Without the teaching, there is no harvest. And the command to go is for all Christians, not just a special calling that some people get. Some of us are called to be the salt and light right here at home. Others are called to go to the uttermost. And Neil feels that calling as he decided, as God led him to the uttermost parts of the earth. This means go to our neighbors, go to our cities, and go to our world. Then what we're supposed to be occupied in is teaching. After we go, we're to be occupied with teaching. And then as we teach, God will bring a harvest, which is baptizing souls. As we step out in faith, God will either open or close doors From my wife and I's experience, it was amazing to see how God led us through this every step of the way. Finding a replacement for me at work. He provided that. And he provided Christian renters for our house for almost the exact time that we were gone. And that was a blessing for that to work out. And someone handed us $5,000. Someone we barely knew. He rode a bicycle most of the time. And in this way, God saw our needs before we even knew our needs. Because when we landed in China and got into our city, we found out that the custom was to pay your deposit and the first year's rent all up front. And we didn't know that before we left. So that money was used for that. So as you trust God, he will prepare your way, even if you have some things that are unknown. Just trust in him. John Piper, in his book, Let the Nations Be Glad, makes a statement that I think would do us good to consider. And I would like to read just a few, two paragraphs in his book. It has to do with the role of worship in missions. Missions is not the ultimate goal of the church. Worship is. Missions exists because worship doesn't. Worship is ultimate, not missions, because God is ultimate, not man. When this age is over, the countless millions of redeemed will fall on their faces before God. Missions will be no more. It's a temporary necessity, but worship abides forever. Worship, therefore, is the fuel and goal of missions. It's the goal of missions because in missions we simply aim to bring the nations into the white-hot enjoyment of God's glory. The goal of missions is the gladness of the peoples and the greatness of God. Psalm 67:3 says, 3-7, let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. O let the nations be glad and sing for joy. For thou shalt judge the people righteously and govern the nations upon earth. Selah. Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee. Then shall the earth yield her increase, and God, even our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us, and all of the ends of the earth shall fear him. Missions exist because worship doesn't. We as the church worship God, and it flows out from our lives to the uttermost parts of the earth. We talked a little bit about missions, and I mean, worship and gladness in God. Now I want to talk a little bit about the opposite of that, the opposite of gladness, which is discouragement. We are human and we get discouraged. And I don't want to paint a dull picture here, but if I would paint everything bright and flowery, it wouldn't be an accurate thing for me to do. And we can gain encouragement from people that have gone on before us and had experiences in life. William Carey says this: when I left England, my hope of India's conversion was very strong, but amongst many obstacles, it would die. unless upheld by God. Well, I have God, and his word is true. Through the superstitions of the heathen, though the superstitions of the heathen were 1,000 times stronger than they are, and the example of the Europeans 1,000 times worse, though I were deserted by all and persecuted by all, yet my faith, fixed on the sure word, would rise above all obstructions and overcome every trial. God's cause will triumph. And, you know, I feel that your hope is strong for the Chinese people, the Tibetan people, and it should be. But when the pressures come, you can say with confidence, I have God, his word is true, God's cause will triumph. I would like to think a little bit on the responsibility of the senders, you as a congregation. Everyone that is a goer needs a sender. And the senders have a powerful part in the effectiveness of the goer, in standing behind them, supporting them in prayer. And it's like a team. One can't be without the other. And if you, as a congregation, view yourself as being on mission with Neil, it will change the way you support and pray for him. Not everyone can go to China physically, and I realize that. But right here in Pennsylvania, you can be on mission in China through your support and encouragement of Neil. As a sender, you don't really realize the importance that you have in the life of the goer. My wife and I never really realized how important this is until we were on the other end and we saw the need for the support of encouragement and supporting them with finances. And we saw the importance of this. And your encouragement is equally important. When William Carey and his pastor were assessing the situation in India, he said, "We saw a gold mine down in India, and it seemed almost as deep as the center of the earth. Who will venture to explore it?" "I will go down," said Mr. Carey to his brethren, "but remember, you must hold the ropes." So you as a congregation are holding the ropes as Neil goes down. And they said, "We solemnly engage to do so while we live. We shall not desert him." Now I would like if you could turn to Ephesians 6, and we're going to look at verses 10 through 20. Ephesians 6, 10 through 20. "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to stand in the evil day, having done all to stand. Stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith you shall be able to quench the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for all saints, and for me, that utterance may be given unto me, that I may be open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in bonds, that therein I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. This is a powerful scripture, and it can apply to our personal Christian lives, but I would like to apply it tonight as we step out in missions. There's some points in this passage that I would like to pick out. The first thing I see in this passage is a wartime attitude. How do you act differently in a time of war? I think you are focused on the task at hand. You have the necessary tools, but not a lot of extras. In a time of war, you're not sitting around drinking coffee in your easy chair. There's a sense of urgency there. Another thing, I think in this passage, he uses a strategy. First thing I see here, or the first thing I picked out, was identify the enemy. Know what you are up against. And he says in verse 12, we wrestle not against flesh and blood. It's a spiritual battle that we are fighting. And the Chinese people, and especially Tibetan people, are very steeped in worshiping spirits. One village we stayed at while we were traveling, as we came into this village, we saw this man was burning incense and doing rituals, and one of our group asked what he's doing. And we were told that he was trying to ward off any spirits that the foreigners might be bringing in, trying to protect his village. And my wife, we stayed there for the night. My wife doesn't sleep well when she's away from home. And so she spent a lot of the night in prayer that the Spirit of God would move into this area and that the people there would see the true Spirit of God. You know, when a Christian goes into an area, he brings the presence of God with him. And the presence of God is much more powerful than the spirits that these people are worshiping. Then I see identifying the enemy, then I see preparation. There's some preparation that we need to do. If you could picture with me a soldier as he's putting on his armor. First piece, he grabs the belt of truth. Puts on his belt of truth, and then he gets his breastplate of right living. And then he puts on his boots of the gospel of peace. And I kind of like how Paul used footwear as the gospel, because it has the idea here of going or taking the gospel to another people. And then he takes the shield of strong faith and the helmet of salvation, being covered by the forgiveness of Christ, and then taking the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. The Word of God is powerful. Christ used the Word of God to combat temptation while he was on earth. And as you face temptations, use the Word of God. Quote Scripture during times of temptation. And by clothing yourself with this kind of armor, you will be ready to go into battle. Then I see the importance of prayer. And I cannot stress enough the importance of you, the congregation, bathing, kneel in prayer. This is where his strength and power will come from, as you lift him up before the Father. And as we talked about a wartime attitude, how will our prayers be different if we view it as a wartime attitude? I think if we pray with a wartime attitude, our prayers are going to be more urgent, and we're going to have more passion in our prayers. As we lift him up to the Father, we're going to realize that there's souls at stake and that time is of essence to taking the gospel to these peoples. If you have a peacetime attitude as you pray, nothing really matters and there is no urgency because everything is peaceful. So I encourage you to pray with passion, pray with urgency. Verse 18 gives us an example of general prayer for the saints. And then verse 19 starts out. It says, "End for me." He's talking about prayer, and then he says, "End for me, that utterance might be given." That he could open his mouth boldly. And the other thing I see, as we pray, it brings a boldness. Prayer brings boldness and strength. And this is what Neil is going to need as he's on the front lines and interacting face to face with the Chinese people as he's faced with the interacting with their worship of spirits, and he needs boldness. Then in closing, I would like to give a few practical ways that maybe you could support Neil. Something that meant a lot to us. Sending him encouragement through email and some through snail mail. It's always fun to get mail when you're away. And I mentioned mail and email. I know there's security issues, and you can get information from Neil as to what you can and cannot send, or guidelines on what you can write. But don't use that as an excuse not to write to him at all. He needs your support. Now, obviously, it wouldn't be good if you all wrote at the same time. So maybe you can figure out how you can do that effectively so it's not overwhelming. Also, in email, don't expect a reply from Neil, a personal reply. This could create a full-time job for Neil and distract him from what he's doing there. So you can wait for his form letters or something like that as he reports back to you. Care packages were always fun to get. Just something from home that that you can't get in China. Maybe a food item or books to read or something like that. And the shipping will probably cost you more than the contents. But let me tell you, it's well worth it. And he will appreciate that. I have a blessing to read to you, Neil. The Lord our God will say to us not to limit what he can do, for he's a God of the unlimited. There's nothing he can't do through you. For God is doing a new thing in our lives today, this hour, to raise us up to be his army, clothing us with his power. It's time now to go out and gather in the harvest of the Lord, for there are many whose souls are ready, more than we've known before. So take his light into those places of darkness and misery, that they may know the God of love to give hope and a destiny. Then they may shine right where they are, so others may come to the light, and they in turn may come to know the saving grace of Christ. Then Jesus' light may radiate there like a beacon in the night, no longer groping in the darkness, but shining forth God's light. May the Spirit of God arise in you and empower you much more, so his glory may be seen with you as you proclaim the risen Lord. God bless you, Neil.
Thank you, Brother Lauren, for those challenges you gave us. It was really special coming from someone that was there, someone that did this, and I know it was of the Lord that he brought Brother Lauren to be with us tonight. As we already mentioned, Brother Neil will be serving with Global Tribes Outreach. Global Tribes Outreach is a conservative Anabaptist mission organization focusing on the overwhelming spiritual and physical needs of the people in Southeast Asia. GTO does not send missionaries. They ask the home church to do the sending. In Acts 13, verse 2, it says, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Spirit said, 'Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them.' And when they had fasted and prayed and laid their hands on them, they sent them away." Tonight, we are sending with a laying on of hands. Before we do that, I have asked Brother Neil to briefly summarize what he will be doing as he goes to China, and then he will also make some commitments to this congregation concerning his service with GTO. Brother Neil.
Good evening. I want to thank you all for coming out and showing your support. And also, I want to thank you as a church for the way you've supported me and all the prayers and encouragement over the last year as I came back and readjusted. After spending 2 months in a Tibetan town called Ganza, I felt that God was calling me to a longer commitment of working with the Tibetan people. And then after returning home last July, God confirmed that call. So I'll be joining two families that are there presently, Nate and Carla Stolzfus and Jeff and Becky Sensnig. And our vision is to start a guest house in the town of Ganza as a platform for business. I have some information there at the side about that. The first year or so, I'm going to be living in Chengdu. That's a Chinese city. It's the nearest city to Ganza. And I'll be studying language. That'll be my main focus for the first year or so. And after that, possibly moving to Ganza permanently, or I'm not sure where God's going to lead or how that's going to work out yet. I want to make some commitments to you as a church. I commit to maintaining an active relationship with Christ by my daily personal devotions. And I want to continue to strive for personal holiness and to follow the guidelines of this church that I agreed to when I became a member. I commit to being intentional with my time and my resources and to not waste my time and to really make the best of it. And also as a member, I feel responsible to be an active part of this church, so I've committed to regular prayer for Pleasant Hill and for the leadership here. Thank you.
I'm going to ask Brother Neil to stay standing there. You heard Brother Neil's commitments. At this time, I would like to ask us as a congregation to indicate our commitment of support for the calling of Brother Neil. As a congregation, I want you to listen carefully to the following statement. And I will then, when I'm done with this statement, ask us to stand in affirmation to this commitment. Brother Neil, we pledge our faithful support to the work of the Holy Spirit through you. We promise to seek to remember you daily in our prayers as we realize you will be in a supernatural war zone. We will seek to encourage you when possible through words of encouragement and the giving of our resources. We join you in affirming that we believe this is where God has called you to. We will strive to be partners with you in helping to release those in bondage to evil spirits and giving them the saving gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. With our blessing, we send you to China and specifically the Tibetan people. We will rejoice with you when even one soul puts down the prayer wheel they use to earn salvation and instead come boldly unto the throne of grace that he or she may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. Can we as a congregation affirm Brother Neil's service and agree to the preceding statement? If so, would you please stand at this time? Thank you. You may be seated. We will now have the laying on of hands, and I'm going to ask our brother to kneel at the front bench, and I'm going to ask the congregation to bow their heads at this time.
Our Father, as we gather here before you at this time, we want to consecrate this moment to the glory of Jesus Christ and the glorious gospel, that it might go forth into all the world and in a very specific way in the life of our brother Neil. Father, we know that you have called him. He has felt that call. We know that call will be tested. We ask, Lord, that you would, in his heart, make a firm benchmark that he knows that he has been called by you, he will be enabled by you, and that he will not doubt that call. We know, Lord, that as he goes, he will meet the enemy. But, Father, you have prepared him. We will stand by him. We will pray for him. Father, we ask that you would use him. Open his mouth when you would have him to speak. Direct him by your Holy Spirit. Father, we know that there are those where he is going who need to hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Yes, Lord. We know that you have children that are not of this fold, and you will bring them. And we ask, Lord, for your blessing upon his ministry as he dedicates his life to you. Lord, during the times of discouragement, when he would desire to see fruit, Lord, that you would comfort and encourage him, that the sowing of the seed of the gospel is never in vain, and it will not return empty, but it will bear fruit in your time. We ask these favors in Jesus' name.
Father, I too want to come to you. And Father, as a congregation, we are giving Brother Neil up for your service. Father, as a congregation, we also believe without a doubt that you have called him to minister to the Tibetan people. And so, Father, we send him there for your honor and glory. Father, we ask that the power of your Holy Spirit would come upon him in a mighty way, that you would give him discernment in tough situations, that you would help him to know how to act when action is needed. Father, I pray, Lord, that as the forces of evil oppress him, that the power of your Spirit would be felt in a great way. And Father, may he know the blessing of that verse, that greater is he that is in us than he that is in the world. And so, Father, we praise you for this call, and we give him to you. And Father, continue to encourage him. Keep him from discouragement, Father. Help him to always trust you, even when things might be looking down, even if it seems that the enemy has gained a stronghold and has some measure of victory. Father, we pray for the children that are trying to earn their salvation. We pray for all those that are offering incense and turning prayer wheels and other rituals to try to get right with God. Father, we pray that through Neil, they would see the power of the cross, that they might see the blood of Jesus Christ, that they might give up their works and simply, in faith in your Son, see that he has gained their salvation for them, that they might trust in him, have a simple faith. Father, that is our prayer. That is the reason we're sending him. And as a congregation, Father, we ask that you would bless his calling. Let's pray the Lord's Prayer together. Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, the power, and the glory forever. Amen. I want to thank each of you for coming. Like Brother Luther mentioned, seeing so many of you come here had to be an encouragement to Brother Neil. And so I praise you for your willingness to show this support. And I want to encourage you, keep the prayers going upward. Brother Neil's going to need it. Remember the commitments you made. Try to follow through on that. Remember the practical advice that Brother Lauren has given. May God bless each of you. Continue to love him. Continue to witness to the heathen that are right around us. We're going to stand to sing a song, and then we will be dismissed in the fear of the Lord. What number will we sing?
24.
Number 24 in the green. Let's stand at this time.